It was insufficient love. It was the wrong happiness. They were driven by the wrong happiness. They were cohabiting, she and he living together, sharing the marriage bed without being married. She was euphoric, euphoric about the way he was into her. She was so happy with the feeling of being desired as he desired her. And he was so into the opportunity to be intimate with her without needing any real commitment. There seemed to be happiness for both of them, rooted in their intense moments of physical and emotional intimacy. The marital embrace is that powerful. It seemed to her she could tolerate anything life would throw at her, so happy she was. He also felt he could endure anything in life, given his satisfaction in her. It was really a pre-marriage honeymoon experience. Finally, he proposed, and they got married, and the honeymoon experience continued for about 2 years. But even in those 2 years, some things started to change in their relationship. Life started feeling too mundane for her, too repetitious. The level of her euphoria with his desire for her started to wane, and his satisfaction with their intimacy started to wane. Fact is, some of his pleasure, even if he wouldn't articulate it, had come from the fact that their intimacy was actually unlawful. That was now gone. The marital embrace, important and beautiful as it is in marriage, could no longer sustain their happiness together. At about that time, she got pregnant, and their first child was born. That tiny life started to require more guts from them, waking up in the middle of the night, constantly thinking of the baby's needs, remodeling a room to provide a nursery, starting to consider babysitting, managing their careers, lamenting the lack of personal time they used to have. She began to wonder, where is my happiness going? Will I ever experience again the euphoria I once knew with him? I was so happy when we started out. And he began to wonder, will I ever experience the satisfaction in her that I used to know? You see where this is going, don't you? The responsibilities are only going to get greater with more children, a bigger house, education, sports, careers, etc. 5 years into their marriage, and that's something of a statistic, they hit a brick wall that seemed insurmountable. They began to suffer greatly, right where there used to be the greatest happiness, in their relationship with each other. What happened? The relationship from the outset was way too dependent. Codependent might be the better word. Their relationship was based on an emotional happiness rooted in the selfish experience of the marital embrace. Selfish emotions were really the driving factor in the relationship. Her euphoria at being so desired, his satisfaction at having his needs met. It was the wrong happiness driving them. Not only was their goal not the eternal happiness of heaven, their goal wasn't even the deepest happiness to be known on earth, the abiding happiness of becoming the servant of gift love that we are meant to become. It wasn't deep agape love leading them. In the middle of our second reading today, did you ask yourself why St. Paul went on such a diversion is in his encomium to love, his extolling the virtues of love? Love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous, love is not pompous, it is not inflated, it is not rude, it does not seek its own interests. All of a sudden, in the middle of this encomium, St. Paul breaks out with, "When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I put childish things behind me." Why, in the middle of a speech about the virtues of real love, does St. Paul take a turn to speak about growing up into manhood? He does this because life is about becoming an adult capable of real love. And growing into the capacity for real love is the definition of becoming an adult. It means growing past selfishness. She was in a state of euphoria. It was a feeling, all about her. He was satisfied as his needs were met. Those are self-centered dispositions. Cohabiting love is immature love. You remember how Pope St. John Paul II wrote that until a couple's love grows to the point of agape, self-gift, other-focused, I will sacrifice for you, love, a couple ought not to stand at the altar and make vows. How many annulments does the Church hand out because of immaturity? The majority of them by far. That is literally the wording of the grounds given for declaring that the marriage was null from its inception. Immaturity, Canon 1095. I have referred to it often in my priesthood. So often, cohabiting couples don't think of the questions love requires. Emotions and passions are in the lead. It's the wrong happiness upon which to build. It's a love not yet deep enough to build a marriage. Think of how the relationship of a cohabiting couple, by definition, involves a body language lie. They start out with a lie. The language of the marital embrace says, I give my all to you. It objectively speaks agape love. If the couple has not taken vows to make the gift real and permanent, the body language of full gift agape love is simply not true. If you want the body language of the marital embrace to mean, I am partially yours, not committed, before marriage, how will we make it mean, I am fully yours, once we get married? What's changed? The internal attitude? That doesn't suffice in a body-soul act. The marital embrace is a body and soul language. The body language of the marital embrace speaks objective, all-in, self-gift agape love. Mature agape love between a couple who are courting is love that is willing to wait for marriage, respect the other partner's body, rather than to use each other's bodies for self-satisfaction before the permanent bond has been created by marital vows. Mature agape love is willing to struggle to maintain chastity. Mature agape love leads to the deep happiness of giving oneself without selfishness. Mature agape love allows prudence to guide and discern during the courtship process. Mature agape love, sourced in God Himself, will lead to the deepest joy of heaven. Let's seek the right happiness, the deep joy of heaven ultimately, and in this life, the happiness of living self-gift love that is true and pure. There is one source for that pure and true love, Jesus Christ, who opens heaven's love to us, especially in the Eucharist.